4.
What? Ellen said.
A job offer, I think.
Really? Where?
Angelica, no, sweetie, no.
The smell of shit billowed into the room. Angelica, age 5 but the size of a 2-year-old, squirmed on a plastic changing table in a corner of Ellen's shabby living room. She flailed her spindly arms and legs, her small face red with fury. Unable to speak or walk, she made her anger known the only way she could, with random movements as frenzied as her uncontrolled limbs could make them. Although her mother was practiced at restraining her, Ellen had jerked her head upward at Caro's announcement. Angelica flung herself sideways, and the tube with which Ellen was suctioning feces from the child's rectum pulled out, spilling yellow-brown shit onto the table, Angelica's legs, and Ellen's shirt and hands. Caro pressed her own strong hands onto Angelica's body.
Go clean yourself up. I'll finish here.
Hush, Angie. It will be okay. Angelica didn't hush. It wasn't okay. Not any of it. Angelica had been born with both severe cystic fibrosis and a brain injury from oxygen deprivation. Multiple times each day, Ellen siphoned the abnormally thick mucus from the child's nose, throat, and lungs, and the feces from her rectum. Medicare provided daily nursing help, but only for a few hours. Ellen, chained to Angelica's care, could not hold a job. Her public assistance was inadequate. There was never enough money. Tenderly, Caro cleaned Angelica. The tiny body calmed. Angelica's eyes, the same clear light brown as Ellen's, gazed up at the aunt she would never speak to, never hug, never run to. Yet Caro felt that Angelica recognized her. The little girl could feel the gentleness of being stroked, the warmth of sunlight on her skin, the comfort of a full belly and a soft diaper. There was a person in that badly damaged brain. Maybe even a person who, however dimly, knew that she was loved. When Ellen returned, she dressed Angelica and then walked her up and down the shabby living room until the heavy head that Angelica could not hold upright rested on Ellen's shoulder and her eyes closed.
Phew,
Ellen said with her usual bright smile.
Okay, now that we can hear ourselves think, tell me about the job offer. Is it a good one?
I don't know, Caro said.
You don't know? What does that mean? Where's it from?
Caro took the letter from her pocket. Unwilling to burden Ellen more than her sister already was, and also, being honest with herself, from a sense of shame, Caro hadn't told Ellen about all the rejections she'd received in the last 2 months. The protest against her, although sparser than it looked in news photos, had blocked the main entrance to Fairley Memorial even after police had been called. The Twitter and Facebook and Instagram takedowns had continued, the viciousness apparently kept alive by some group somewhere enjoying their power over a doctor. Caro had not done the things that were the subject of the gleeful lies, and she was not the privileged, rich, man-hating harpy they said she was. She'd said as much online, but her self-defense had only fueled the pile-on. The hospitals, of course, knew the massive shaming wasn't accurate, but they also knew she'd falsely accused one of the most prominent physicians in the country.
We regret to inform you.
Ellen repeated.
Caro, where is the offer from?
Not where. Who? It's from our great uncle. Ellen stopped walking Angelica.
No, the Nobel laureate?
Himself.
But where is he? Where has he been for the last 15 years? You told me he stopped researching after he invented that drug and then just sort of disappeared.
He did. Only now he apparently runs, or at least is associated with, a private hospital in the Cayman Islands. And he wants to fly me out there to interview for a neurosurgeon position.
Caro, are you going?
I don't know. How can I know? I Googled everything I could think of.
I checked with the AMA, but Google had nothing. And this facility, whatever it is, isn't in the United States. And the AMA had no information either. I talked to this Haggerty, a lawyer, and he was evasive about everything except the salary. I have no idea what's going on here, and is it a good idea to just waltz into a situation I don't understand? Angelica started whimpering. Ellen resumed walking her. Caro said, "You look exhausted. Give Angelica to me." She took the little girl from Ellen. Angelica felt heavy in her arms. Ellen said, "What's the salary?" Caro told her. "Holy shit, really? And you're not even going to go see the hospital? You can't just... Is that a normal starting salary for a neurosurgeon?" "No, it's astronomical. He could attract much more experienced people than me, which means that there's something fishy here." Ellen considered this. "No, not from a Nobel laureate. Because why would he endanger his great reputation with something illegal?" "I don't know. Although, offshore, a lot of stuff is legal that isn't in the U.S., particularly in the Caymans, if you have enough money. I'm not saying I haven't thought about the offer. I haven't thought about anything else since the letter came, but..." The front door burst open, and Kayla barreled through, sobbing. "I hate them! I hate them all!" She ran toward her tiny bedroom, hurling her backpack toward the sofa, which it missed. Ellen caught her daughter as Kayla raced past. "Honey, what is it? Let me go!" Caro stopped walking Angelica and stared. Ordinarily, 8-year-old Kayla was calm and even sweet-natured in the living conditions imposed by Angelica's needs. Now tears flew off her face as she twisted to free herself from her mother's grasp. She didn't succeed. "Kayla, I need to know what happened. Tell me what's upset you, now. Who do you hate?"
"All of them. Jesse and Ava and Lily. They said...
"What did they say?"
"They said they won't come to my birthday party, and they won't ever come to play at my house again because it always smells like shit and medicine."
Ellen's face creased. She folded Kayla close as the little girl cried. On her sister's face, Caro saw the pain that all good parents face eventually, the inability to make things right for the child. Kayla had been born just as Caro started med school, a few months after Ellen's jailbreak marriage to Eric. When Ellen went into labor, Eric had again been out with the boys, and Caro had driven Ellen to the hospital and held her hand during an astonishingly quick and easy labor, especially for a first baby. When Kayla slipped into the world, Ellen cried, "Oh, let me have it. What is it?" "A girl," Caro said before the doctor could. "A beautiful baby girl. Let me have her." The nurse laid the baby in Ellen's arms, just for a minute. Gazing at mother and child, Caro felt herself near totally unexpected tears. Her little sister had done this miraculous, totally commonplace, utterly joyous thing. And here was a perfect new human being who'd just added a whole new layer to not only Ellen's life, but also Caro's. Sister, future doctor, aunt. She was Aunt Caro. Ellen said, "I'm going to call her Caroline." "No," Caro said, before she knew she was going to say anything. "Not my name. She's herself. Look at her. Oh, just look at her, Ellen." "A version of your name, then. I want to. Charlotte. Caitlin. No, Kayla." "Kayla," Caro said, touching the baby's cheek, still covered with vernix. "Hello, Kayla."
"Why are we both crying?" Ellen said.
"I don't know,"
Caro said, swiping at her tears. She couldn't do that when she was a doctor. As the nurse picked up Kayla and bore her away to be cleaned, weighed, and recorded. Now Caro's gaze swept slowly around the tiny rented house, the stained carpet from mishaps with Angelica, the living room crowded with equipment for Angelica, the one ancient bathroom between the two doors to the bedrooms, one for Kayla, and one crowded with Ellen's single bed and Angelica's crib. Ellen crooned to her daughter, and Kayla quieted. Was this really why Caro had come to Ellen's today? To show their great uncle's letter to her sister? Yes, but also to see again all this? Never enough money. Not enough help for Angelica. Kayla in tears and anguish. An astronomical salary. Caro said, Ellen, I've changed my mind. You're right. With that kind of salary, it's dumb not to at least check it out. I'm flying to the Caymans.